God for keeping us healthy, for ensuring our safe travel, and for enabling us to meet this morning on day one of our 60th session of the Executive Committee meeting. Indeed, it's good to note that we are all able to attend, and I wish to extend special welcome to the newly appointed members of this Executive Committee. I indeed welcome them, and we look forward for their active and constructive participation in this session. May I then ask the Secretary, Dr. Kazuaki Miyakishima, whom I shall from now onwards refer to him as Mr. Secretary, to provide information concerning interpretation facilities, session timetable, lunch, and other logistical arrangements. Dr. Kazuaki, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Simultaneous interpretation is available in four languages. Channel 1 floor, English, Channel 1, Français, Canal 2, Espagnol, 3, et Arabo, 4. The session will last 3 hours. We are now starting at 9:30, so the morning session will be over by 12:30. We will have 2 hours lunch break, and the afternoon session will start at 2:30, and it will last 3 hours. The timetable stays the same for tomorrow. And if necessary, the committee can hold the last session for the substantive discussion on Thursday morning. And the adoption of the report will take place on Friday afternoon. Mr. Chairman, I shall come back after the opening session for further housekeeping matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Now I have the honor to invite Mr. Jose Sumsi, Assistant Director General FAO, to give a statement on behalf of FAO and WHO. Mr. Sumsi, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Dr. Moshe, Chairperson of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, by Chairpersons, Dr. Hulubak, Mrs. Horton, Dr. Banek, members and advisors, good morning, everybody. I would like to start to welcome you to Rome and to FAO headquarters for the 60th session of the Executive Committee of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. I would like to extend a special welcome to the newly elected members and the newly appointed coordinators following the 30th session of the Commission that met in July. A special welcome also goes to my colleagues of WHO, Mr. Jürgen Schlott, and the ADG of WHO, David Heyman, that unfortunately cannot be here due to some previous duties, but I would like to grateful we discussions and preparations of these meetings. Dr. Debbie Hammond is a new Assistant Director General of WHO, who following a restructuring at WHO is now overseeing, among others, the Department of Food Safety, Zoonosis and Foodborne Diseases. The Codex Alimentarius Commission that you guide with your recommendations is the internationally recognized risk manager in the food safety area. It bases its work on the independent scientific advice provided by FAO and WHO, and then, in turn, delivers the standards, guidelines, and codes of practice for use for governments. FAO and WHO assist countries in the implementation of codex standards and guidelines in their capacity-building programs, thus complementing the work of codex. Your role as members of the Executive Committee is both essential and challenging. You have to balance sometimes competing needs in the framework of the critical review, such as the need to set new standards and to revise old ones. Clear sense of prioritizations is necessary, even if difficult, because when the protection of the health of the consumers is at stake, everything is important. Your task, however, is to streamline codex work and to make the best use of available resources. We encourage all of you to provide unbiased and clear guidance on the key matters to be addressed by the committee, including the following. First, review of the Codex Committee structure and the mandates of Codex Committees and Task Force. Work on this important exercise continues. During the last session of the FAO Council and Conference, several member countries expressed their concerns about the limited availability of the developing countries to participate in the Codex process, due, among other things, to the enormous spread of geographical distribution of these different committees and groups. At its last session, the Codex Alimentarius Commission made significant progress, but several important issues, such as tasks related to nutrition and the role of private standards, were left for review by the Executive Committee. On the issue of conversion of regional standards into worldwide standards, we would expect you to define how to handle this in the framework of the critical review function. The second thing is applications for observer status. The Codex Alimentarius Commission is a global forum, as such, profits from the active participation of international non-governmental organizations. There is a high interest among the NGO community to participate in and to contribute to the Codex process. Rules have been set up to grant observer status. It is another important function of your committee to ensure that both existing observers as well as new applicants comply with these rules. When recommending which organizations should enjoy observer status, you have to balance the need for transparency and the need to ensure that the contributions of observers will be focused, relevant, and constructive. The third point, very important point, is financial and budgetary matters. Like what happened with Codex in 2002 and 2003, FAO has been the subject of an independent external evaluation. The report of this evaluation has recently been issued, and the FAO Council and the FAO Conference recently held have considered the main conclusions and recommendations of this evaluation. During the coming month, a committee of the conference will be engaged in the development of an immediate plan of action and a strategic framework for FAO renewal. Last, and it's very important, the conference decided to convene a special session of the conference in November 2008 to approve this immediate action plan for renewal of FAO. Then I think that 2008 will be a very important period for the future of FAO. Even although this is a difficult time for FAO, we are happy that the External Independent Evaluation Report agreed that FAO was an institution that, if it did not exist, would have to be reinvented. This is one of the most interesting messages of this report. The evaluation also gave a high mark to Codex and to Codex-related activities, undoubtedly due to the results of the implementation of the joint evaluation of Codex. that it's good to be proactive. Five governing bodies and five senior management have thus accorded and continue to accord importance and priority to codex and codex-related work, and I am confident that this will be reflected in the budget and program of work for 2008 and 9. In fact, we achieved in the conference a good result on increasing 13% of the budget of FAO. But due to the next conference in November 2008, could be very relevant changes for 2009 and following years. And it's my hope that in that review and approval of plan, immediate plan of action, is probably that the budget for 2009 related to college could be improved due to the high priority that all members expressed in the conference on codex and codex-related activities. In fact, a lot of member countries expressed their support to increase the budget for codex and codex activities. At this session of the committee, you will resume consideration of the working paper on alternative financing mechanisms presented at the last session. This is also a proactive enterprise, and I wish you success in your deliberations. This is also another important topic due to the not just the regular budget of FAO and WHO, but even taking in consideration other possible sources to financing the related activities of Codex, special scientific advice and capacity building activities related with Codex. In concluding this brief statement, let me reiterate the continued commitment of FAO to the work of Codex. Together with our partners in WHO, we will work cooperatively on assisting the Commission to fulfill its objectives in order to ensure better and safer food for all of us. You have a very full agenda before you. Let me, we'll close by wishing you a successful, a productive meeting and a pleasant stay in Rome and at FAO. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sumtsi. And now I have the honor to invite Dr. Jorgen Schlund to give a statement on behalf of WHO.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, dear colleagues, at the opening of the recent high-level meeting on food safety in Beijing, the Director General of WHO, Dr. Margaret Chan, said, "Rapid urbanization and corresponding lifestyle changes mean that more and more people purchase processed foods, eat in restaurants, or buy meals from street vendors. This makes populations more vulnerable to lapses in food safety at any point along the production chain. The result of all these trends is a dramatic increase in the incidence of severe episodes of foodborne disease. By severe, I mean severe illnesses that go well beyond an upset stomach and a day out of work or school. I mean severe economic losses for the food trade. I mean severe costs associated with outbreak investigation and food recalls. And I mean severe losses of consumer confidence." At the same conference, the EU Commissioner for Trade, Peter Mandelson, said, "We should get the philosophy, the law, and the enforcement of food safety right, and there is scope for improvements in every stage of the food production stage." He also said some other things, but I don't need to repeat that here. And the Health Minister, Pat Gallagher of Ireland, said, "We should share experiences of food safety between countries." It was very clear at this conference that ministers from around the world are concerned with food safety issues. But it was also clear that the same ministers saw Codex as part of the solution. In the brief one-page Beijing declaration at the end of the meeting, it states that countries should develop transparent regulation and other measures based on risk analysis to ensure safety of the food supply from production to consumption, harmonized with the guidance of the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other relevant international standard-setting bodies. Back in WHO, we continue to recall that a World Health Assembly resolution in 2003 asked Codex to focus more on health issues. Further strategic direction from WHO came from a 2005 resolution on infant and young child nutrition, with clear directions to Codex to continue to give full consideration to resolutions of the Health Assembly that are relevant in the framework of its operational mandate. We are happy to see that there are many new important health-related areas that Codex has taken up over the last years. The microbiological area has been revived in CCFH, representing a very important disease burden related to food in all corners of the world. The Task Force on Antimicrobial Resistance is now operational, supported by recent joint FAO-OIE-WHO expert meetings. Another very important area that needs strengthening also in Codex is nutrition. Over the latest several years, the WHO diet and physical activity strategy has been on the agenda of this executive committee several times with a view of promoting support from the Codex Alimentarius Commission for the strategy. FAO and WHO are now actively seeking to define a new scientific body in this important area, and we hope to have more news about this at the next CCXSEC. We will probably also discuss it at this meeting. Increase in activity also means increase in funds needed to run Codex. WHO is actively seeking additional funds to the food safety area of work under which Codex resides. Unearmarked extra budgetary funds is now being directed to this food safety area as part of a new strategic objective in WHO, which includes both nutrition and food safety. This will enable further activities such as the provision of scientific advice needed and requested for Codex work. The Secretariat is also looking into other ways of enabling additional funds to be used for Codex, but we need to look seriously at the ways we fund Codex and whether changes in the procedural manual are needed to enable such increased funding. An area of increased funding where FAO and WHO has been successful is the Codex Trust Fund, which has, through the generous support from donors, helped more than 100 countries over the last 3 years participate in the Codex work. WHO and FAO are committed to improve our interaction with these countries, enabling more efficient use of the Trust Fund money. WHO continues to attach great importance to the development of Codex food standards. We do that because such standards represent one of the important normative areas of WHO's work, important both for national health and national economical development in developing countries and in developed countries. But nothing is static. There are many opportunities for improvements in Codex, and this executive committee is in the driver's seat for needed change. On behalf of WHO, I wish you luck in this endeavor.
Again, thank you very much, Dr. Jørgen Slund, on the behalf of WHO. And ladies and gentlemen, we have two very informative presentations from both FAO and WHO as the parent organizations of Codex. And indeed, we need to inform our parent organizations that we continue appreciating the recognition we enjoy from these two organizations, both at the highest governing bodies level and at the management level of these two organizations. And we also need to promise as executive committee that we take note of the different directives or directions given in these presentations, and we shall be serious and indeed try to implement as required in these two presentations in the course of our 4 days meeting in this 6th executive committee meeting. With those few remarks, I wish to maybe we need to rearrange the high table.
No, I think no, it's okay. Carry on, but I need to make sure.
So, ladies and gentlemen, before we continue, again, I wish to invite the secretary to give some housekeeping announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You reminded me, so that I remind you, that the audio channels of this meeting are being recorded, digital recorded, so that they can be put on the website at a later time. And this is within the endeavor of the Codex Alimentarius Commission to ensure transparency of discussion taking place in this forum, whose membership is limited. Therefore, I would like you to first, before speaking, ask for being recognized by the chair, then press the red button and speak, and switch off the microphone again before talking to your neighbors about your personal sentiments. Next, there may be some new members of this committee who are not familiar to catering facilities in Rome and on the FAO headquarters. The secretariat will be happy to provide you any addresses or directions to get lunch within the time available to you. So don't hesitate to contact any member of the secretariat for information. We basically do not have time for tea break or coffee break. However, we have made arrangements so that midway through each session, each three-hour session, some refreshments are available down the corridor in that direction, in front of the space facing dead elevators. Probably Mr. Chairman will make some arrangements in the light of the speed and progress of agenda items, if appropriate, to have a very, very short break. But otherwise, the participants are kindly invited to get out very quickly, wash hands, get some drink, and come back, and at the risk of missing very important items for discussion. So the choice is yours. I don't think I have missed anything. And of course, if you have any questions, the secretariat will be happy to provide you assistance to make your stay in Rome a pleasant one. Thank you. The chairman requested me to clarify the distinctive roles of coordinators and members elected on a geographic basis. An amendment to the rules of procedure was adopted at the last session of the commission, and now you have the new rule incorporated in the 17th edition of the procedural manual, which is the current edition. apologies. A new sentence was added at the end of paragraph 1 of Rule 5, which reads, members elected on a geographic basis are expected to act within the executive committee in the interest of the commission as a whole. So those countries elected at the last session of the commission to serve on this committee are basically expected to act for the overall interest of the commission, regardless of the region they are elected from. On the other hand, coordinators, who are also members of the executive committee, are expected to discharge the functions that are enumerated in Rule 4, Paragraph 3. And namely, the third bullet point of third paragraph of the same rule states that the coordinators assist the executive committee and the commission as required by advising them of the views of countries and recognized regional intergovernmental and non-governmental organizations in their respective regions on matters under discussion or of interest. So there are some differences on the roles and responsibilities expected on the part of the members elected on a geographic basis on one hand and coordinators on the other. Mr. Chairman, probably this was the clarification you requested. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, for that clarification. And ladies and gentlemen, we are now in a position to go to agenda item 1. That is the adoption of the agenda. And again, I wish to invite the Secretary to introduce us into that agenda item. Mr. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant document is CX/exec 07/60/1. Provisional agenda. This provisional agenda has been drawn up by the FAO and WHO in consultation with the chairperson of the commission. There are subject matters and documents indicated, and there are a few additional documents that could be considered or that should be considered under certain points. But the Secretariat will guide you through the documents as and when we go through different agenda items. Mr. Chairman, first, this provisional agenda is for adoption by the Executive Committee. And secondly, if some members wish to raise matters for discussion under other business, this is the right time and place to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the provisional agenda in front of us, and I wish to invite any comments from the floor. New Zealand, please.
Thank you, Chairman. We can support the adoption of the agenda as proposed, but we do have an item of interest which we would like to submit for consideration, and that relates to the question of codex procedures governing convening of joint working groups and sessions of committees. As you know, this issue has come up in recent times in relation to two committees, and we believe that coming out of that is a feeling that maybe codex procedures are not quite as flexible as we would like to see. So we would like to have some discussion of this issue, either possibly under agenda item 2B or under other business, but we are flexible on that. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. And I think appropriately it's better to discuss that under other businesses. And, of course, we can also listen to views from the rest of the members. And I can recognize the flag of Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Muy buenos días a todos. En esta ocasión quisiéramos plantear dos temas. Uno que pueden apreciar en el documento de sala número 6, relativo a la incorporación del artículo 12 del reglamento de la FAO al manual de procedimiento del Códex, y otro que es retomar una discusión que tiene pendiente el Códex sobre una definición de consenso. Este segundo tema sometemos a la consideración de la presidencia, si es más apropiado su discusión dentro del punto de asuntos varios o bien dentro de la agenda que se propone para la siguiente reunión de la Comisión del Códex. Muchas gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Coordinator Latin America and Caribbean. And your second point, it's a point of discussion in this current session, and it appears under agenda item 2C, the question of consensus. And the one on FAO rules is an issue that we can consider if the rest of the members agree on agenda item other businesses. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina quería hacer una aclaración sobre la solicitud que se encuentra en el CRD 6. En realidad, creemos que tuvimos un claro ejemplo de lo que puede suceder cuando se aplican mutatis mutandis los artículos del reglamento de la FAO en el Códex. Durante la discusión que tuvo lugar en la última reunión de la comisión, en esa oportunidad se recurrió a estos artículos, los cuales constaron en actas y se adoptaron decisiones en función de esos artículos.
Argentina, please, we are not yet at the discussion point, so we are trying to agree on the agenda okay. items. And I think that is exactly what was the request from the coordinator, and we have agreed to discuss it and other businesses. So when it comes to that time, we would invite you to explain. Any other observations from the floor? If there are no any other observations from the floor, I wish to inform the committee that I had requested the secretariat to prepare a document on the possibility of having shorter commission reports, and this has been prepared, and it appears as CRD 4. And I wish to ask the executive committee to also consider this under agenda item other business. Thank you very much. I see no flag, which means we shall also discuss this under agenda item other business. And can I then invite the Executive Committee to adopt the provisional agenda with the request from New Zealand and the request from, sorry, coordinator near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. أود أن أرجع للنقطة الثانية في مسائل أخرى لو تسمح. لأقترح هل من ممكن إدراج ضمن هذا العنصر إمكانية مناقشة وضع عمل حول مدى تطبيق المواصفات كودكس على مستوى البلدان، وذلك لأن في منطقة شرق أن تمت مناقشة هذه المسألة وتذمر البلدان المنضوعة تحت هذه المنطقة من عدم تطبيق العديد من بلدان مواصفات كودكس، ونود نطلب من سيادتكم إمكانية إدراج عمل حول هذه المسألة حتى نكون معناها على هناك شفافية على مستوى تطبيق المواصفات، وأن تعطي أكثر جدوى لمساهمتنا في إنجاز مواصفات كودكس. شكرا.
Thank you, Coordinator Near East. And if there are no objections from the floor, that is also an item that we can add under other business. So can we then, as Executive Committee, adopt the provisional agenda as the agenda of this session with the additions under agenda item other business, including the request from New Zealand, the request from the coordinator Latin American Caribbean, the request from the chairperson, and the request from the coordinator Near East. Thank you very much. Then this will be the agenda of our session. Can I now invite you to start looking at agenda item 2? That's the draft procedures and the it has two parts, and we start with the draft procedures and criteria for streamlining the Commission's work on development of regional standards and their conversion into worldwide standards. And can I invite the Secretary to introduce the agenda item, please? Secretary, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The members of the committee may recall that over the past couple of sessions, the Executive Committee has considered the issues on the committee structure and mandate of the subsidiary bodies of the Commission and how these could be improved to streamline the work of the Commission, and with a special focus on the Commission's work on commodities. When the last session of this committee and the Commission discussed the issue of how to implement or put into practices ideas included in the working document that had been circulated for government comments, the Commission and the Executive Committee made a decision with regard to the Proposal 8 that was part of the circular letter, regarding how the commodity work, and in particular the regional standardization for commodities, and how it should be linked to the worldwide standard setting. The 30th session of the Commission, based on the discussion at the 59th session of the Executive Committee, uh, agreed on the proposal 8 with some amendments, which is set out in paragraph 157 of the commission report. But at the same time, the commission endorsed the agreement reached at the executive committee level that the current session of the executive committee review the outcome of a study to be undertaken by the Bureau of the Commission to identify a set of draft procedures and criteria for use by the same committee when it conducts critical review, and and for use by the Commission, which could assist the Commission's work and streamlining the Commission's work in the development of regional standards vis-à-vis the worldwide standards and their eventual conversion into worldwide standards. Subsequently, the chairman of the Commission and three vice chairpersons met in Rome in September to conduct the study as requested by the Commission, and the outcome of the work by the chairperson and the vice chairperson is presented in this working document CX/EXEC07/60/2 part 1. I have to inform you that there is no part 2. The part 1 includes the background and historicals of the consideration of this matter by the Commission, and includes also two parts, part A and part B. Part A includes a set of guidance that could be used by the Executive Committee when interpreting the information contained in each of project documents that would be submitted to the Executive Committee for the critical review prior to step one. Of course, once these criteria or guidelines are agreed upon by this committee, we could hope that those who provide or prepare project documents would have due regard to these guidelines, so that the quality of the information and volume of the information to be contained in project documents will also improve and thus facilitate the critical review by the Executive Committee. But basically, these guidelines are meant to assist the work of the Executive Committee as an internal document to this committee. Part B develops the procedures and try to set up procedures whereby a adopted regional standard upon adoption at step 8 or sometime after the adoption step 8 can be converted into worldwide standard. In sub-paragraph B of paragraph 9 of this working document, you have some description of how the Commission should structure its work when a relevant commodity committee is active to cover the scope of the standard concerned, and what should happen when no relevant committee is active. So, Mr. Chairman, this is a brief introduction And if there are any questions about the content, I think those members who have drafted this document, I hope, would be happy to reply and clarify. But Mr. Chairman, probably we could separate our discussion in two parts, because we have part A and part B, which are linked but are also separate. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I can confirm to this executive committee that the chair and the vice chairs did indeed meet, and now I wish to invite comments from the floor, first of general nature and second of particular nature to part A of this agenda item. Coordinator Asia, please.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am the new member of the executive committee because I am a coordinator for Asia, so this is first time I attend this meeting. Regarding regional standard, I think standard is for trade facilitation. And WTO said that if we want to use standard, we should adopt the international standard. So if we develop regional standard, maybe make some confusion in the future. So we should be careful if we want to introduce or to propose the regional standard. So I would like to suggest to the committee to minimize the regional standard, because otherwise there's some confusion. Because in WTO, it's only recognized as international standard, namely ISO, IC, ITU, GN, Codex. So I think Codex is one of the international standards, and we should maintain the recognition. So, for the regional standard, yes, we can develop some regional standard, but we should try to convert it to international standard as soon as possible, so there's no regional standard in the future. So this is very general comment, and we will make a comment in the deep, but I think again that we should careful to propose regional standard, because probably will make confusion, especially when the product having different regional standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator Aisha, and indeed you are welcome. We appreciate your presence, and it's also true. Your observations, and indeed there were observations in the last executive committee and indeed in the last commission meeting, and that's exactly what prompted the preparation of this document we are discussing. Any other observation from the floor? Coordinator, Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Sí, bueno, el primer comentario general sería agradecer el esfuerzo de la presidencia y los vicepresidentes para preparar este documento. En general, la discusión en la región de América Latina y el Caribe fue favorable al documento. Si bien tenemos algunos comentarios específicos, el primero de estos sería en relación a la primer guía que ofrece el documento, señalar que debe de acotarse que la información que se deberá proporcionar deberá ser aquella que esté disponible, ya que si bien la guía que amablemente nos proporcionan da más claridad y tiende a hacer más homogéneos los documentos de proyecto que se acompañan a las propuestas, no siempre va a ser posible reunir toda esta información, y en una mala lectura podría estimarse excesivamente prescriptiva la exigencia de proporcionar todos y cada uno de estos datos que no siempre están disponibles. Asimismo, pues el punto en particular de las fuentes no siempre es fácil de atender, ya que existe una multiplicidad de fuentes. Por otra parte, tenemos una duda sobre la naturaleza de este documento. Entendemos que se trata de directrices, pero no nos queda muy claro si estas directrices eventualmente se incorporarían al manual de procedimientos o si se vayan a circular bajo algún paso de procedimiento a los miembros, porque la sensación general que quedó en la región fue de que les gustaría a los miembros tener oportunidad de dar comentarios más específicos, adicionales a estas directrices. Y finalmente, un punto de fondo que había planteado el suscrito en carácter de representante regional en la última reunión es la importancia de que la decisión que tome este comité ejecutivo para recomendar a la comisión el inicio o no de un trabajo regional sea congruente con los datos proporcionados. Esto es, si la información nos dice que un producto es de circulación mundial, entonces la recomendación no debería ser iniciar normas regionales, sino más bien iniciar normas mundiales. Y si los datos nos dicen que el producto es de circulación regional, entonces desde luego permitir la elaboración de normas regionales. Es quizá un punto que no queda claro en el documento que amablemente nos proporcionan y al cual reiteramos nuestro agradecimiento. Gracias.
Thank you, Coordinator Latin American Caribbean, and we note your observations. Can we get more comments from the floor? Of course, the coordinator Latin America Caribbean went, besides the general comment on thanking the chair and the vice chairs, he went on to agenda item, he's talked on part A, or rather paragraph 8A, and he made observations that the requirements are just too prescriptive, and maybe that data might not be available. Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. This is the first time the regional representative to participate under this new role. Introduced us by Secretariat. That is, Japan is the regional representative work for the executivity in general. I'd like to refrain from expressing the Japanese government's own view, but somehow for the compromise or something like this. And at any rate, the Japanese government welcomes this document, and generally we are comfortable with what is written here. But I have several questions. For example, in the page 3 of this document, in the top, the note And here, the when proposing to develop a regional standard, the coordinating committee concerned should provide well-documented and objective evidence that there is significant intra-regional trade, and that there is no trade or no significant trade between or within other regions. So it appears that this description, I don't know the origin of this one, excludes the possibility, not exactly, but somehow it discourages the development as an international guide. So this statement is somehow contradictory to point C, international or regional market potential. So as the Argentina, the Latin American delegation said that if it should be international, it should start from as international guidelines. And in addition, when we look at the procedural manual, under rule 4, I think voting, I'm not so sure which. This is rule, which one? Rule 4? Rule 8, sorry. I found it. Rule 8, paragraph 3. When the vote is taken on the elaboration, amendment, or etc., etc., intended for a region or group of countries, only members belonging to that region or group of countries may take part in the voting. So when the regional standards are developed, the other countries has to keep silence. So if the regional standards to be converted to international ones, we have to be somehow clarify what the inter-regional standards is meant to be. Why the regional standards is drafted is based on the regional interest and within that region. So representative of Asian region is quite welcome this document, but I find some inconsistency, and it should be somehow clarified. I know the history of this discussion, but now we have to think about what regional standard is, and what the meaning that the conversion of regional to the international ones. Regional development of regional standard should not be somehow easy way to start with. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. And indeed, part A, I think we all have to be clear on this, that this is a set of criteria that will be used by the executive committee when reviewing projects submitted. And this will enable the executive committee to make an informed judgment as to whether the proposal really qualifies for worldwide standard or it does qualify for a regional standard. So basically, this is an internal document for use by this executive committee to be able to make an informed judgment as to whether we should recommend worldwide or regional standard. If we get that clear in our minds, then this so-called, what appears to be contradiction might not be there. Karen, you want to come in here?
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The I'll just make one brief point, and that is to say, in response to the interventions so far, that it was very much part of our discussion that a clear distinction be made between regional standards and international standards, specifically to the point that the regional standard not be a way around or an alternative means of developing a standard that should be, as a basic point, an international standard from the very beginning. Now, we will talk about how these guidelines can need to be known to all proposers of documents, but that will come later. But we wish to be, it needs to be very clear to all members of the commission, the reason for which an international standard should be proposed, and as opposed to an international standard. And what these guidelines attempt to get at is the clear elaboration of facts that a commodity is traded only regionally and not internationally. If there is evidence that a commodity is traded internationally, then an international standard should be proposed from the beginning. That's the essential distinction. And that work at the commission level should focus on development of an international standard from the very beginning, not first as a regional standard for later conversion. Although we recognize that there may be cases in which trade in a commodity develops over time and conversion of a regional standard to an international standard may be contemplated. But that shouldn't be, I think our concept is, the standard practice, but that we should be clear from the beginning that a commodity is traded regionally or that a commodity is traded internationally. And on the basis of those facts, we determine that a regional standard should be developed or an international standard should be developed. That was the intent.
Thank you, Vice Chair Karen, for that explanation. I'm sure Japan is comfortable with that explanation. And can I go back to another vice chair and see if we can also explain to the issue raised by the coordinator of Latin American Caribbean regarding guideline A, volume of production and consumption in individual countries and volume and pattern of trade between countries as being too demanding or prescriptive. Noreen, you want to come in here? We had an extensive discussion in our meeting too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The idea of having these guidelines is to provide guidance to the executive committee to evaluate the project document. I think we realized at the last meeting that we didn't have any guidance to do, and also we raised concern about the quality of the project document. Hence, we were looking for some criteria that we could evaluate against the project document, and of course we need some data. And some of those we understand may be prescriptive. We have actually looked into the possibility that for some cases, for example, in the case of citations and credible sources, we think it's very important to have those references where you get the data and so on. But if this is possible, to the extent possible, this is very useful. And again, the information on the volume of the import-export, I think that would be useful, whether it represents a significant proportion of the domestic economy. This is in relation to GDP. So we have discussed this with the idea, actually, in trying to strengthen the criteria for evaluating the project document. So I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Noreen, and I hope the coordinator, Latin American Caribbean, is satisfied with that explanation. Coordinator, Latin American Caribbean, please.
Muchas gracias, señor presidente. Y gracias a los vicepresidentes por sus amables comentarios. Creo que estas directrices que se están dando se pueden ver desde dos puntos de vista. Me parece que la propuesta es muy acertada, que es dar guía al comité ejecutivo sobre cómo interpretar los documentos de proyecto. Pero creo que visto desde el otro lado, como países miembros, esto se está volviendo en realidad una guía sobre cómo hacer los documentos de proyecto. Y es desde ese punto de vista que surge la preocupación sobre las fuentes que haya y los datos que hay disponibles a la hora de preparar el documento de proyecto. Entonces, son dos aspectos interrelacionados desde un punto de vista y desde el otro, que son desde luego las inquietudes que surgieron entre los países miembros de la región que represento. Que ellos no son miembros del comité ejecutivo, ellos se están viendo en la posición de un país que quiere proponer un nuevo tema. Entonces, quizá podría ayudar, si el secretariado pudiera responder la única parte de mi intervención que quizá no ha sido atendida hasta ahora, que es un poco el estatus en el procedimiento de esta guía, de estas directrices, desde el punto de vista procedimental. Gracias, presidente.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin American Caribbean. Indeed, we would address your second question, but we were discussing your first observation first. And I wonder whether members from the other regions also have the same feeling as the Coordinator for Latin America. Coordinator for Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to state that this is a good beginning to get these guidelines to guide the process. I noticed from the document that is to ensure clarity. And items A to J that have been listed as guidance, I think there is something missing for purposes of clarity. And this is on the issue of value addition and the processes of transformation. When we are dealing with products, depending on the steps that have been used, we may be giving different products the same attention, and they may not be the same. And I think under F, your proposal F, if we may introduce something that will provide a brief outline of the transformation processes, whether it is semi-process or process, will be useful in the process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator Africa. Excuse me, Coordinator Africa. I'm looking at item F, and it seems as if what you have raised is actually addressed under that item. And I'm not sure whether it's the same or something else you have in mind, but I get the impression that what you are saying is scattered under the item F.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've looked at the item F, and it's talking about a number of commodities which will need separate standards, indicating whether it's raw, semi-processed, or processed. So we can state that it is a semi-processed product. But what I'm asking for is a brief to tell us in the document the transformation process. So just a brief. So for clarity, coming from different parts or different countries and different regions, if you are comparing, we may need to know that we are talking about the same thing. Maybe the names are different, but the processes are the same. And this we will find a lot within the region that I'm representing. And that is why I'm saying that we need a short brief on the transformation processes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Coordinator Africa. I think that is clear now. And going back to the question which was raised by Coordinator for Latin American Caribbean on how these guidelines can be accessed or made available by the prospecting project proposers, and I would like to invite the Secretary to give some proposals on how these guidelines can be accessed or can be available to the interested parties. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
the authorship of this document doesn't belong to the Secretariat, but rather to the Chairman, you and three Vice Chairpersons. And at this stage, I think all possibilities are open for this committee to decide on how to make use of this document and how to publicize this document once these guidelines are agreed upon. As the Secretariat has understood, the intent of this set of guidelines is not to modify in any way the criteria for the establishment of work priorities that were intensively debated at the General Principles Committee and were approved by the Commission. But these guidelines are meant to assist the Exec Committee to better interpret the information submitted in a project document, and with a sort of spin-off effect, as the coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean noted, to improve the quality of project documents if those who prepare a project document look at these guidelines before they prepare one document. One possibility would be to keep this document internal to this committee, and we have a precedence. Now we are talking about the critical review of new work proposals. But critical review also encompasses a process whereby the committee, the executive committee, monitors the progress work of standards development in the step procedure. In 2006, at the 58th session of the committee, agreed on three criteria on how to monitor the progress work and how to recommend corrective actions when significant delay of standards development is observed. And these three criteria is reproduced in a different document, which is CX/EXEC/07/60/3, paragraph 7. And as you see, these criteria are being used by this committee as a standing guidance to help and help the conduct of a critical review. Therefore, one possible status for these guidelines are to keep them as internal guidance to the executive committee rather than making them part of the procedural manual. But all possibilities are open, and it's up to you to recommend the best course of action. Another possibility would be if in the future the exec committee so wishes, we could also use the Codex website and develop or enhance the sort of website information and put all relevant guidance regarding the critical review to the Codex website, including the three criteria I just mentioned for the monitoring of the progress work, as well as these interpretational guidelines to be used when assessing the need for new work. So these are simply some possibilities that come to my mind, but there may be other possibilities, and I think the committee should recommend the best way you can make use of this document while keeping some transparency so that countries preparing a project document may have a due regard to these guidelines, and which would help the exec committee to see whether the proposal is best implemented as a new regional standard or a new worldwide standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And indeed, we did discuss this at the chairs and vice chairs level, but the coordinator from Latin America wanted to hear it from the secretary. But I think the explanation given is of great interest to us as a committee. And of course, we should also note that this will appear in the report of this executive committee. And we are also going to report to the next commission session, which means they will also appear in the report of the next commission session. And I do welcome the proposal from the secretary that they should also be put on the website. Of course, they are for use by the executive committee, but going by the observation from the coordinator from Latin America and Caribbean, that we can also look at it from the other side. The people proposing projects will need to know the criteria that will be used. So for transparency purposes, it's good that information is available to the chairs of the committees, to the coordinators. So it's good to have the information on the website. And of course, I also recall we have briefing notes to chairs of committees and also to of coordinators. And it will be of great interest to have this also included in the briefing notes of the chairs and the coordinators so that they know what is expected of them. Unless there are other observations from the floor, Coordinator Isha, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In principle, we agree with this document for the part A of this document, but I think we should make some clarification, especially for myself. And my understanding of this document is that in the critical review, the criteria A, B, C, and G is in balance. So that means that the criteria A is not more important other than criteria B or C or something. So, because some product, for example, the production value is not too big, but this is very important for some country, especially in the region country, and traded internationally, but it's not in the other member country in the commission. So, I think the criteria of the APC should be in balance, and not necessary criteria A should high value of the production, but sometimes it's small but it's very important, or maybe according to the law of the government, they think that it's more important other than the value. So this is correct or not? This is for my clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. And can I invite Vice Chair Wim to try to explain? We also discussed this in the chairperson's meeting. Vice Chairperson Wim, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As said before, let's say the very purpose of this document, particularly under A, is to provide guidance to proposers for pieces of new work. And we have to try to identify a number of issues listed under A up to F and G, which we thought are relevant, particularly also for the executive committee, to draw a final decision based on such a proposal. And of course, let's say, based on the information provided, I guess in reality we certainly will give different weight to each of the items provided. But together, sometimes, for instance, which is under E, let's say, if there is a proposal for new work, then you also should have a view on what already is regulated within Codex. And if it's not an issue at all, well, fair enough. If it is an issue, let's say, then we preferably should have this kind of information. So it is not written in stone. It is just what we have identified as the main topics we should try to address, where we hopefully will provide input from a proposer. And some of these issues can be very, very important in some cases and irrelevant in other cases. It is a little bit case by case, and in that regard it is not written in stone. It should be not seen as very demanding and restrictive, but the very purpose is that at the end of the day the executive committee can make an evidence-based decision, given the circumstances and the information provided, and given also what is already regulated within Codex. So yes, different weight will be given to each of these pieces of information, case by case. Once I have the floor, Mr. Chairman, on the issue of the status of the document, clearly explained by the Secretary, I think we felt as officers of the Bureau that, of course, this is primarily, of course, to provide and to give guidance to the Executive Committee, but we all can benefit tremendously when these guidelines are also made known to the proposers and the outside world. And in that regard, it's interesting to look into the possibilities of using websites as proposed, which I guess is a very elegant solution nowadays, widely used, rather than go through a clumsy process of adopting this document through a step procedure and to be published in the procedure manual. As the Secretary explained clearly, this does not change the criteria we have already adopted. It's just to provide guidance, and in that regard, we support the idea to have it published and made known through, for instance, website and attachments to reports, briefing of chairperson, etc. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chairperson Wim and Coordinator Nia East. I'm tempted to sort of wind up discussion on this part A. Coordinator Nia East and then UK, United Kingdom, then we wind up. Coordinator Nia East, please.
Shukran, Sayyid Rais. بدوري أشكر الرئيس ونائبوه على إعداد هذه الوثيقة التي تعتبر هامة في إدخال أكثر من الشفافية ومزيد بدعم دور اللجنة التنفيذية. لدي ملاحظتين. الملاحظة الأولى هي أن الوثيقة المطروحة تقتصر على تحويل المواصفات الإقليمية إلى مواصفات عالمية، في حين أن يمكن اقتراح وهذا المقترح هو تطبيق الخطوط التوجيه على مشاريع المواصفات المعروضة بصفة عامة على اللجنة التنفيذية في إطار الاستعراض التقييمي إن كانت إقليمية أو عالمية. الملاحظة الثانية هي أني أوافق المنسق أمريكا اللاتينية والكاريب حول الصعوبات توفر المعلومات، وأقترح أن الوثيقة تدرج أكثر من مرونة أكثر حول طبيعة المعلومات المتوفرة وإدخال أكثر مرونة حول توفر هذه المعلومات. وشكرا.
Thank you, Coordinator Nia East and United Kingdom, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to express support for the document because it does provide very helpful guidance for the benefit of the proposers and the executive committee. And I would support the publication via the website rather than via the manual itself, because the document does need to be transparent but doesn't have quite the status of the rules of procedure. I just wanted to raise one additional point and wonder if the Bureau actually considered this. Within Europe now, it's extremely difficult to propose new regulation. There is a drive towards better and less regulation, and therefore it is necessary to demonstrate that there is no alternative way to achieve the same result. And I just wondered whether there might not be a flavour of that in this document, whether or not the objectives of consumer protection and avoiding interruptions to international trade, whether the proposers might not consider or state whether there are any other possible means that might be used to achieve the same approach. And in the Codex context, I was particularly thinking in terms of food labelling as opposed to elaborating a complete standard. So I'm just proposing that it might be helpful just to raise that question with proposers whether the same objectives could be achieved by other means, for example via food labelling, and the labelling would differentiate between one type of product and another. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, United Kingdom. Very similar to the observation raised by the coordinator for Africa, and to give some more clarification on that, can I ask Vice Chair Wim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do believe that this is a very interesting observation made by the representative of Europe. I can't remember that we explicitly discussed this, but I look at my colleagues in the Bureau when we prepared this document. But I guess it has merit to reflect upon it, because the spirit of this document, also in conjunction with the next item on our agenda, which in fact is about the proper management of standard setting within Codex, then of course the basic question is, does it make sense to elaborate on this piece of work? And in that regard, I guess there's merit maybe to add this as an additional item, because the spirit, and that is what we reflected, and that was on the basis of our thinking, that when you start a piece of work, new work in Codex, that is resource demanding. So better to think twice at the outset of the work before you easily accept something, where then in the end you may say, we have something and we don't need it, or there would have been better alternatives. So that was the spirit when we worked on it. Whatever we do in Codex, it is resource demanding. Think twice before start new work, and I guess that fits well with the proposal made by the representative of Europe. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim. And there is still one question that hasn't been clarified, and that was the issue raised by coordinator Latin American Caribbean and also voiced by the coordinator Near East on item A, and with regards to availability of data. This we did discuss, and can I ask Vice Chair Karen to explain, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We spent, in fact, a great deal of time talking about these particular issues, and the availability of data, the burden that these criteria, the expanding on the original, on the criteria in the procedural manual, put on proposers of new work. We recognize that. We also recognize, as the member from Europe has acknowledged, that we need to be careful not to duplicate, or to make sure that we're working on something, a standard that genuinely is unaddressed in the present time. We shouldn't duplicate something that already exists. On both of those, on those two points, I'll say that, as my colleague, Vice Chairperson Van Eck, has said, we recognize that these criteria, which need to be understood very well by proposers of new work, ask for work to be done up front by the proposer, and that to the extent possible, data should be provided and clearly given reference in the proposal before new work is accepted. And the reason, our reason is that when work is proposed to be done by the commission, and it is taken up by the commission, to be done in a regional committee or by the commission as a whole in a subsidiary body, a commodity committee, that work calls for the expenditure of hundreds or thousands of man hours, person hours, around the world. We should therefore be very careful that we only take up work that really must be done. We have a phrase in the United States, carpenters use it, measure twice, cut once. Be sure that you are proposing to do something that really needs to be done. And we recognize this puts a burden on the proposers of new work. But that proposed new work is going to put a burden on hundreds of people around the world. So we should be very clear. And this should be something that the proposers of new work are happy to accept. This is, be careful, be thoughtful, be thorough, and provide as much data as possible to document that this is work that truly needs to be done. Now, on the point of whether there is an alternative way to do the work, I would direct your attention to Criterion E, which really talks about, asks the proposer of new work to evaluate whether there is an existing standard or a standard under elaboration that could be revised or amended in such a way as to address the concern of this potential new standard. So we did look to cover that possibility in Criterion E, which could possibly be food labeling, could be another existing or standard already under elaboration elsewhere in the Codex system. So yes, we recognize there's a burden on the proposer, but we also recognize that the Codex system is heavily burdened, and we can't say yes to everything. We cannot do everything. And we recognize that proposers should do the best they can within reason. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Karen, and I think that has really explained the two issues raised by the coordinator, Latin American Caribbean, and also the issue raised by United Kingdom, Argentina. You are the very last.
Gracias, señor presidente. Me pareció muy interesante lo planteado por Reino Unido. Nosotros tuvimos oportunidad de dar una serie de cursos de Codex y uno de los exámenes finales era pedirle a los participantes que hicieran propuestas de nuevos trabajos para el Codex. Y en realidad lo que se notaba era que la justificación carecía justificación en el ámbito del Codex. Y me parece que una de las cuestiones que hay que tener muy en cuenta para la elaboración de nuevos trabajos es que el Codex no tiene que tener una lista infinita de estándares sobre productos. Que el Codex se tiene que ocupar de elaborar estándares como sobre productos, no importa si regionales o multilaterales, solamente cuando se haya constatado que existen problemas para el comercio. Y no es necesario tener que regular sobre potenciales conflictos que alguien presuma que puedan llegar a existir por diferencia de legislación. Porque de lo contrario el Codex estaría haciendo futurología y no es esa la función. Creo que el Codex tiene que avanzar sobre bases ciertas. Si existen problemas en el comercio por diferentes regulaciones nacionales, el Codex debería armonizar para encontrar un, para establecer una norma internacional. De lo contrario, sí, el trabajo cada vez va a ser mayor porque todos van a querer tener una norma para cada uno de los productos que produzca o comercialice, no importa a qué nivel. Entonces, creo que ese criterio, que entiendo que fue uno de los pilares de la armonización internacional en el Códex, debería ser revalorizado. Gracias.
Thank you, Argentina, and I'm sorry, Latin Continental, Latin America, Caribbean. I had said Argentina is the very, very last one, and we need to conclude on part A. It's the sense of the committee that we, of course, appreciate the work done by the chairs and the vice chair, the chair and the vice chair, and we also note that there is a need for this criteria in part A to be made available to, for transparency purposes, to the would-be new work proposers, and we have identified quite a number of ways by which this criteria can be, I mean, these guidelines can be available, and we mentioned they will be in the report of this executive committee, in the report of the next commission meeting. They will appear on the website, and also they will form part of the briefing notes to chairs and coordinators of committees and coordinating committees. And of course, there was the issue raised by Africa to clarify the names and processes, and I think that forms a good summary of our discussion so far on part A.
You said part A or part B?
It was part A.
Part A.
Yes. United Kingdom, I'm sorry, we have just closed our discussion on this point, and I'm told coffee is ready. And maybe I invite the secretary to explain. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you go out of this room, don't turn to the left. It's good for if you want to wash your hands. But if you are looking for coffee or tea, turn to the right, and you turn two times to the right, and you will get to your coffee or tea. Second, there are some cables running on the floor of this room. This is to enable audio recording. So just please be careful or not to break, step on the, those wires. And finally, Mr. Chairman, in accordance with rule 13.3, some members of the executive committee have benefit from the financial support to attend the current session. And the Codex Secretariat had kindly asked the WHO to act as the Secretariat for making logistic and financial arrangement for these purposes. So those delegates who are supposed to receive per diem or DSA for this week, please approach WHO representative Dr. Schulent for that purpose. I think we could have a very quick break of 10 minutes sharp, and we shall start around 11:22. Thank you.